move into Judges chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, if you want to find that spot. Judges 7, 1 through 8. So I have a question for you. What impossible situation are you facing today? Or can you think of an impossible situation you have faced at some point in your life? I want you to think about that. Maybe it's a dream in your heart or a passion for your life that you're afraid to pursue. Or maybe you have this financial debt that is just weighing you down and you just don't see any way out from under it. Perhaps there's a broken relationship in your life, whether it's a husband or wife, a father or a mother or a daughter or son, that you just really want this relationship to work and it just seems like there's no hope for forgiveness. Sorry, y'all. Didn't even notice. What is something that you are facing in your life now or have faced in the past that feels impossible, that you don't see any way out? Maybe you've worked really hard to try to find a way out, but there just doesn't seem to be any solution. I don't know how God is going to work in your particular situation, but I think by looking at the life of Gideon today, I want you to know that you can live by faith in the face of the impossible. You can live by faith. Sometimes when we're facing these situations, we just feel overwhelmed and we're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what step to take. I don't know what to do. But by looking at the life of Gideon today and where we're at in his story, we're going to see some ways that we can live by faith no matter what situations we're facing. Gideon and his people were facing an impossible situation. Perhaps you remember the Midianites had been oppressing them for 7 years, coming in, destroying their land. They were afraid. They were hiding in caves, trying to stay safe. And God appears to Gideon in chapter 6. You can read this later because we're starting in chapter 7. God appears to Gideon, the angel of the Lord, and miraculously proves that he is God and says, I am calling you to save the Israelites from the hand of the Midianites. Now, Gideon had all kinds of excuses, just like we probably have all kinds of excuses in our lives. I have all kinds of excuses in my life about why I can't do things that require a lot of faith and courage. But God says, no, you can. I am with you. And so today we're going to see that just like Gideon, we can face the impossible with faith. And to do so, we're going to read verses 1 through 8 together. I'm going to pray. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 together and then look at how this plays out. Holy Spirit, just ask you to come and speak to us today. Lord, show us how you're working in our life. Show us what you want to do. Give us the faith to follow you, to walk with you, to pursue you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're in Judges 7. And just as a brief reminder, Gideon has made all kinds of excuses. Last week, we talked about the fleece. Gideon had laid out a fleece and said, okay, God, if you really want me to take this army and defeat the Midianites, I need proof. And he laid out his fleece and God answered, not just once, but twice. And so Gideon is now at the beginning of chapter 7, has gathered his army, and they're moving in to get in place for the battle with the Midianites. Okay, that's where we're at in the story. Let's read Judges 7, 1 through 8. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was north of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead. Then 22,000 of the people returned home, and 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And any one of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. And any one of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink. And the number of those who lapped was 300. But all the rest of the people knelt to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand, and let all the others go, every man to his home. So the people took provisions in their hands and their trumpets, and sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Okay, so Gideon has been very afraid. God has given him sign after sign to say, hey, I'm with you, I'm here, I'm calling you, this is really me speaking. But if you remember any of the past sermons we've been talking about, Gideon had a lot of excuses. But me, I'm too weak. But me, I don't know. I don't even know if you're with us, God. I don't even know if I trust you. And God had an answer and a response and just kept saying, I'm with you. Go, go, go. And as he did, Gideon took steps of faith. So if we're looking at this passage and we're asking ourselves, how can I live by faith in my life? And we look at what Gideon did. The first thing I see happening is that Gideon got to know God and his ways. That's what was happening in all of chapter 6, right? Gideon had heard about God. He had heard stories. At the beginning, when he's talking to the angel of the Lord, he goes, I've heard how you miraculously saved my people. But look at us now. For 7 years, we have been oppressed. And you have not been here. I see no evidence of you. He had heard about God, but now in chapter 6, he began to experience God. He began to know God personally for himself. And if we are going to live by faith, we must also get to know God and his ways. And you know what? You can do that. God has made so many ways for us to do that. So we have hope. We may not know God or have experienced a lot of God in our lives yet, but perhaps we have heard stories, and maybe we're curious, like, who is this God that people talk about? I have a friend who talked about how God came in and intervened in this situation, and it just sounded impossible. And now I'm facing this situation in my life, and I'm wondering if God could do the same for me. Would God do the same for me? Today, I want to tell you he can and he will. He loves you. He loves you. And he sees you. He sees whatever situation you're facing, and he wants to be a part of your life. And he invites you to get to know him and his ways. And here's one thing. I'm going to tell you about a secret about God. When you get to know him, if you haven't done so yet, you're going to discover this pretty early on. God loves to show his power in the face of the impossible. When you are backed up against a wall and there's no way out, God loves it, because that's when you know that it could only be him. Could only be him. Has anyone else besides me ever felt that way in their lives, right? Times when I was like, God, there is no hope. Like, I believe in you. I know you do things, but I really need that right now, because there is no hope. There is no answer to this problem. There is no cure for this disease. There's no provision for this financial debt that's weighing me down. There's no hope for forgiveness in this relationship. The other person doesn't even want it. We've all been in places like this, and I'm here to tell you today that you can live by faith even then, by getting to know God and his ways. You can hear the stories, but you can also begin to experience as you talk to God. The best way to get to know someone is to spend time with them, right? Spend time with God. If you do not spend time with God daily, I encourage you to do so. This is not some legalistic thing that God's like, check the box, I spent time with God. This is I wake up in the morning and I have a day to face that is going to be hard, and I need Jesus in my life. I need him now, and I need him throughout the day. I cannot do this without you, God. I need you. And open up your Bible, read a paragraph or a chapter or a couple sentences, and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, because he will. He wants to. So Gideon had heard about God, but in chapter 6, the angel appears to Gideon. Gideon brings him this meal. The angel of the Lord stands, sticks out his staff, and poof, it's on fire miraculously. And Gideon had experienced God. Gideon was told to go and break down the altars of Baal and Asherah. And God said, okay, getting to know me, if you get to know God, you're going to learn that there are things in your life that are not okay. There are things in your life that you're going to have to burn, you're going to cut out, you're going to get rid of, because these things are keeping you from following God. They don't keep God from loving you and wanting you to follow him, but they do keep you from pursuing God. And so there are things we're going to have to confess of and repent of and turn away from. And we will learn that as we get to know God and his ways. And the other thing that Gideon experienced was the fleece. He came to God with all his fears, all his doubts, and he said, I just don't know God. And God was so kind and patient and compassionate with him. And God is kind and patient and compassionate with you too. So I encourage you to spend time with God. Spend time with God's people. Hear other stories about how God's worked in people's lives, their testimonies. Testify of the goodness of God to others around you. And another thing you can do that, in my experience, has been the best way to get to know God in his ways is to take a step of faith. When it feels like there's no way, but you know God has called you to do something, be loving and kind to someone who's not loving and kind to you. Maybe take that step of faith. Maybe he's called you to pursue something, to start a small group and gather, invite your neighbors to study the word of God. Take a small step of faith. You will learn to know God in his ways more than ever, I guarantee it, if you take a step of faith. So the first thing we see from Gideon's life is that by getting to know God in his ways, we can learn to live by faith no matter what our impossible situation is. The second thing I want to point out is that Gideon chose faith in the face of fear. Fear did not go away. Fear doesn't just disappear. We are human beings who feel fear. When there is an army of 125,000 people coming against you and you have 32,000, you're afraid. And then when God says that 32,000 is too many, I'm going to cut it down to 300, you're more than afraid. You're terrified. But Gideon had gotten to know God in his ways. And so he took the step of faith and he sent the men home when God told him to, and he stayed. He, at the very end, verse 8, Gideon and the 300 men, they stayed and they camped out because they may not have known how. Remember, Gideon didn't know what was going to happen. Some of us have read ahead. We know what happens, right? We know that God miraculously saves them. It's amazing. It's a great story. Look forward to hearing more about that in a few weeks. But right now, today, all Gideon knew is that there was an army that has been oppressing his people and destroying their land, and they have been living in fear, hiding in caves for 7 years, and now they have come out of their caves. They're standing by the battleground ready, but only 300 men, because God says, more than that is too many, because I need you. God says, I need you to know that I am the only one who wins battles in your life. I need you to trust me. I need you to know that you did not do this by your own strength, by your own wisdom, by your own strategic thinking. I need you to know that I am God. But when you get to know God, you might still be afraid. I'm pretty sure Gideon was still afraid. But did you notice that he's not arguing with God anymore? There's no conversation with Gideon like, God, I think you meant for me to send home the people who aren't afraid, because that leaves me with only 10,000 people. That's not enough. Or when God says, the 300 men, I bet Gideon's looking, if I was Gideon, I'd be sitting here looking, 300 men here, 9,700 here. Okay, God's surely going to send home the 300, right? Of course. Like, sure, this is going to be a miracle no matter what. They started with 32,000. There's no way they were going to do this. 125,000 people against 32,000. The odds were already against them. But God says, you're going to have no doubt of my power. But they had to take steps of faith. And they had to choose faith while they were afraid, while they didn't know the end of the story. What area of your life is God asking you to take a step of faith today. You may be terrified, but God says, I see your fear. Tell me about it. Here's my hand. Take a step. From Gideon's life, we know that we need to get to know God in his ways, and we also learn that we have to choose faith, even when we're afraid. Finally, I want us to look again at verse 2, because this is such a significant verse in this passage, because it explains the whole reason God dwindled down the army, right? I'm going to read verse 2 again if you want to look with me, Judges 7:2. The Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. From Gideon's example, we learn that to live by faith, we have to remember that it is all about God. It's all about God. It's not about us. And you know what that means? That means I'm going to have to check my pride at the door. Pride shows up in my life in two ways. Sometimes my pride shows up as insecurity. I'm afraid. I feel inadequate. I can't do this. Who am I? Why would God use me? I'm no one. This is pride because I'm focusing on myself and I'm not trusting God. Other times, pride shows up in my life as arrogance. I got this. I don't think God can do this, but I can do this. I'm smart. I've been working really hard. If I just work harder, I can do this. If I just get the right people, make the right connections, I can do this. I don't need God. Both of these are pride. Both of them are lies from the enemy to keep us in captivity, to keep us from living by faith. Because the truth is, you will face impossible situations in your life. You will. We all do. We all have. We all will again. But we can choose to live by faith. We can get to know God in his ways. We can choose faith even when we're afraid. And we can give all of our pride, whether it's our insecurities or our arrogance, probably some of both, we can give them to Jesus. We can confess. We can repent of those. We can ask the Holy Spirit to come, because the enemy is trying to convince you that you can't do it or you shouldn't do it. The Holy Spirit is saying, it's okay, because I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it in you, and I'm going to do it through you. Our inadequacies don't disqualify us, because it's all about God. Our arrogance can be surrendered, because it's all about God. Will you give your pride to Jesus? Each of these things I've been talking about, I mentioned this at the beginning about getting to know God, how this is an everyday thing. This is true for everything else. This is like chores. You know, you wash the dishes and then the next meal, it's full again. And you're like, what? I just did this. Living by faith, getting to know God, putting your pride at the feet of Jesus and leaving it there are things we do over and over and over again for the rest of our lives. This is not something that's just once and done. Never have to think about it again. Oh, good. I said a prayer. We're good. Now I'm good. Everything's great. Keep seeking God. Keep getting to know him in his ways. Keep choosing faith. What's the next step? What's the next step after that? Because around every corner, there will be another scary obstacle. And when God calls you to do something, it doesn't mean there are no obstacles. It just means that God is going to do it. Think about the impossible situation in your life. The one that you can't quit thinking about, even though you wish you could. The one that wakes you up in the middle of the night. Will you give that to Jesus? Will you believe? Will you have faith that God loves to show his power in the face of the impossible? And God loves you, and he wants nothing more than to walk you through whatever you're facing. And you can live by faith. You can. It doesn't mean it's always easy. We don't always get it right. And that's okay. God loves us. There's grace. There's mercy. But you can do it. You can get to know God better. And as you do so, you will build confidence to take those steps of faith. As you take those steps of faith, you'll get to know God better. You'll see how he works in your life now. And when you're facing the next one, you can look back and say, remember how God got me through that? Sometimes God gets us through with like flying colors. We're doing great. Other times it's like we feel like he's just carrying us through, but he does. He's with us. He has not left us. He has not abandoned us, even when it feels that way. And I know it feels that way sometimes. I know it does. But as you look at your life and as you try to live a life of faith, I want you to remember that it is all about God. That's the reason we do this. One of my favorite passages of scripture that I go back to so many times is Hebrews chapter 11. If you remember from the first time when Jeff was introducing Gideon to us, he talked about how Gideon was in this list of heroes of the faith, people who had done great things by God, and now they go down in history as heroes of the faith. But they also felt the fears, had the doubts, faced the situations, and had hard, lonely, dark nights. But they took steps of faith. They turned to Jesus. They allowed God to work in their lives. And that's what we can do too. I love that because when I am really doubting God or feeling very overwhelmed with my situation, when I think back about people like Gideon, I remember that they're not so different from me. And if God did it for them, he can also do it for me, and he can do it for you. God loves you so much. I think that's one of the things we have to remember in all of this. God loves us. And his love isn't like flailing and fleeting. It is constant and it is steadfast. I think we sang that song Evidence today. Did you guys like that? I really liked that song. But I was just thinking, like, we can look around our lives. You can look back through your life and say, God, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence of your goodness to me? Does anybody have something they'd want to share? A way God, just a couple words of how God's been good to you. Julie. God's reunified a family and brought new unity that felt impossible before. Amen. Yes. God took the chains of addiction off you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else want to share? Krista. Yeah, a very high-risk pregnancy and just seeing God's faithfulness with girls who are now 7 years old, twins who are now 7 years old. I have seen God provide for me financially when I thought there was no way. I have seen God get me through some very difficult, painful moments, both emotionally and physically. And he's still doing it every day. Anyone else? Dean. Amen. The death of a spouse, that a devastating experience, and the hope of being reunited in heaven, and also a new love, a new marriage soon to be. Thank you for that testimony. As we close today, I want you to know that you are not alone. We come here, we put on our smiles, and sometimes we don't see how much the person next to us is hurting. But you are not alone. You're not alone. I encourage you to look for ways to get to know God personally, but get involved in a small group, because we need each other too. I can't even imagine making it through the challenges in life without Jesus first and foremost, but without the people that he has put in my life to help hold my hand and encourage me and support me. There are small groups for you to get connected with, even ones online right now. I'm going to pray.